Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and once more, it is my pleasure to introduce the four diverse and talented individuals who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back Peter Jones, Wendy Richard, Tim Rice, and we also welcome for the first time Richard Stilgoe. I have beside me the producer secretary, the lovely Anne Ling, who has a stopwatch and a whistle to keep the time and blow her whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I'm going to ask our competitors if they will speak without interruption, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Let us begin the show this week with Tim Rice. And who better? Tim, the subject is chop suey. Can you tell us something about that gooey subject in this game, starting now?
Chop suey is a kind of nosh. Not the food, however, coming from China. It is, in fact, a Californian invention, a bastard version of food from that place I mentioned before in the Orient. Never, ever have...
And Wendy Richard has challenged. Wendy.
I think there was a slight hesitation.
Your thoughts are correct. I agree with you. So you take over the subject, gaining a point for a correct challenge. And it is chop suey, and there are 45 seconds left, starting now.
I disagree with Mr. Rice's interpretation of chop suey. I always understood it was invented by an Oriental gentleman who only had one saucepan to do his cooking in. So he put everything into the one receptacle.
A Tim Rice challenge.
Two ones.
Oh, he's not going to be picky, is he?
Well, the audience reaction shows you what a tough challenge it was. But I have to be fair within the rules of Just a Minute and say, Wendy, he is a tough challenger, but it's a correct one. So, Tim, you get the subject back, a point, and 32 seconds on chop suey, starting now.
This character from Eastern Parts who flung all his food into one wok.
Richard Stilgoe challenged.
He said he was from California, which is Western Parts.
Well, it depends. From China, California is east.
Deviation.
No, no,
you're 180
quite right,
degrees
Richard.
Deviation.
Well, it depends where you are.
I agree with Richard. Give it to Richard.
After that last challenge, I knew you would agree with Richard, Wendy. But no, Richard, well, listen, because I think, to my mind, Tim established that he came from California. So, Richard, you have a point, and you speak for the first time on Just a Minute with 27 seconds left on chop suey, starting now.
I'm sorry about that challenge straight away, because if you're called Rice, it must be incredibly embarrassing having to talk about chop suey. The aforementioned subject... Oh, no, I'm allowed to mention its name, of course, because it's chop suey and that's the name of the thing on the card. It's...
Tim Rice challenge.
Lots of names there.
Yes, the name on the card and the name is this.
Sorry.
It's difficult, isn't it,
you
Richard?
Expect charity,
anyway,
no.
You have a point and Tim has another point. And he has the subject back, and 12 seconds left, starting now.
The Chop Suey Club, just off the A6 near Preston, who once had a magnificent football team starring my childhood hero Tom Finney, who played on the right.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Now he's talking about football. And Tom Finney. And nothing to do with Chop Suey.
But he was also talking about his hero.
Well, that's a kind of sandwich that is popular in America, a hero sandwich.
I don't think he got
somebody
sufficiently...
in Italy invented it. It was taken over to California and became very popular.
Peter, we did enjoy the interruption, but I don't think he got sufficiently involved in Tom Finney to call it a deviation.
Well, he's only got about 5 seconds left. I couldn't let him go on.
I thought there was a bit of a ploy behind it, Peter. I can't allow the challenge. And Tim gets another point for incorrect challenge, keeps the subject 4 seconds, chop suey, starting now.
An Italian gentleman started this.
Peter challenge.
A repetition of gentleman.
Yes, he did have a gentleman before. Right at the beginning, you had this gentleman from California, Tim. So, Peter, you got him very cleverly with 2 seconds to go, chop suey, starting now.
So he bunged everything into this one.
For those of you who don't know after 23 years that whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, I will remind you of that fact now, and also to state on this occasion it was Peter Jones. And Peter Jones, will you take the next subject, which is self-seal envelopes? 60 seconds as always, and you start now.
Well, I'd like to begin this short talk on self-sealing envelopes by saying that they don't very rarely work, you know. They kind of unpeel after you've tried to stick the two bits together. And this is a tremendous disadvantage if you've got something that you want to put in the post, watching it unfurl as you walk to the post office.
Tim Rice, challenge.
I think it was grinding to a halt.
I think it almost reached the halt, and it was a definite there. And I think he was quite relieved that you challenged, gained a point, and you have 37 seconds to tell us something about self-seal envelopes, starting now.
This is a fascinating topic, mainly because there has never yet been invented a truly self-sealing envelope. Think about it. Envelopes never seal themselves. You have to do something, even if the two parts are previously sticky. If there was a man who could invent a truly self-sealing envelope, he would make a fortune. Imagine the joy, putting your letter into the envelope and sitting back and watching it close itself.
Wendy Richard has challenged.
I think there's been envelopes other than coupled with self-sealing, which is what we're talking about. And are you not allowed?
The subject on the card is self-seal envelopes.
Yes, but then, just a minute, he picked me up on ones. Now, if you're saying envelope on its own, more than one.
Exactly, is that your challenge?
That's my challenge.
Your challenge is correct, then.
Right.
Don't get so aggressive,
no,
Wendy.
All right, I'm just...
16 seconds are left for you, Wendy, on self-seal envelopes, starting now.
I entirely agree with Peter Jones and Tim Rice about self-sealing envelopes. They don't work. There is nothing more annoying than putting one's letter into one of these self-sealing envelopes and pressing madly on the back of the self-sealing envelopes to find that...
So, Wendy Richard, speaking as a whistle, Wayne gained that all-important extra point. She's now in second place behind Tim Rice, who's still in the lead. Richard Stilgo, your turn to begin. Will you tell us something about embarrassments in just a minute, starting now?
Embarrassments are the sort of thing that George Cole used to go through a great deal in a radio series called A Life of Bliss. This used to have as its signature tune, ba-da-da-da-dum-ba-dee, and then the programme itself would begin. He had a dog in it. That was me taking a breath, incidentally, not a hesitation. He had a dog in it whose name, as far as... Oh, damn.
The audience reaction is to Richard Stilgo's hitting his head with his hand because he realised if you pause, you come back with the same sentence. And Wendy was the first to challenge. So, Wendy, you have another point, and you have 39 seconds to tell us something about embarrassments starting now.
We have all suffered embarrassments at one time or another, and I'm desperately racking my brain to remember one that has happened to me. I'm sure there must have been several, and I'm desperately looking at my husband. He's got to give me a sign to remind me about something. I think one of the embarrassing moments we have had was when I was driving. No, I wasn't in the behind the wheel. He was.
Tim Rice.
This is just dying on its feet.
You're quite right.
I mean, it's very embarrassing, frankly. I mean, I tried to keep my hand off the buzzer, but I couldn't.
Unsportingly, but the audience enjoyed it. Let her embarrassment go on longer than necessary because she had deviated and all kinds of other things. And we're left 15 seconds for you to continue, or no, take over the subject of embarrassments, starting now.
There was a very embarrassing incident, I recall, which took place in Spain, quite near Madrid, I believe, involving the local fire service. The two chief men of this company, called Jose and Hose B, were called out to a
Richard
fire.
Richard Stilgo challenged you.
The rat.
Why can he pause for a laugh and the rest of us can't?
No,
also,
you can.
Repetition of hose.
You could have had him on the other one as well, because one has to be fair, Richard, but you very cleverly got him on hose instead, and you have half a second. Embarrassments, half a second, starting now.
Embarrassments.
Back with you to begin, Tim. The subject is list. starting now.
I was once in a pub and a bloke came up to me and said, "You're Brahms and Liszt." I said, "No, I'm only one person. You must have got me confused with two other guys." This did not seem to satisfy him and he became rather aggressive. I turned to a companion of mine and said, "What is this bloke on about? Is he..."
Wendy Challenge.
Did we have two blokes there?
There were four of us in all, actually.
There were two blokes, but he repeated the word blokes, Wendy. Well, listen, and you have 45 seconds to tell us something about Liszt, starting now.
For several years, I played a character in I Being Served called Miss Brahms, and I believe that that name was chosen because it was supposed to go with Brahms and Liszt. Now, why the producer...
Peter Jones challenge.
A repetition of Brahms.
Brahms, yes.
Did I say it twice?
Yes, oh, yes. You played a character called Miss Brahms and the Brahms and Liszt.
Sorry.
Don't apologise, because Peter's delighted. He's got in and gained another point and 34 seconds to tell us something about Liszt, starting now.
Well, the only pictures I've ever seen of Liszt show him as a very old man. I wonder if there are any others or anybody has seen pictures of him when he was younger.
Richard Stilgo, challenge.
Two pictures.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's right, yes. I thought you were going to say yes, you had, Richard, but it doesn't really. 26 seconds for you to tell us something about Liszt, Richard, starting now.
Funnily enough, you're absolutely right, Peter, that the most famous picture of Liszt shows him sitting on a train with a wart on one side of his nose, and he has very long white hair, and he has a priest's hat on his head, because towards the end of his life, he took holy orders in the cloth. This was after having an enormous career as a concert pianist, playing the pieces that he... Piano is the word I was looking for.
Oh, dear me. The most obvious thing, but he had to search in the recesses of his mind, and it never came because Tim Rice challenged and got him with 5 seconds to go, Liszt starting now.
Playing the notes on his piano, which were A, B, C, D, E, F.
Those in the audience were saying, oh, any ploy is fair game in just a minute. Tim Rice, you've increased your lead. And Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. Peter, the subject is leeks. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Leeks are, among other things, a very nice vegetable. Cooked, braised, I would suggest, rather than fried or cooked in water.
Wendy Richard challenge.
Two cooked.
There were two cooks. You were cooked twice, Peter.
Oh, yes.
And you cooked yourself, unfortunately. And Wendy got in with a sharp challenge with 52 seconds left on leeks, starting now.
I'm not a great fan of leeks. My husband's informed me he hates leeks. But whenever I make a stew, I always put leeks in, and it's so well cooked, he doesn't know he's eating leeks. So, you see, if you actually leave them in a pan for some number of hours, they gradually start to dissolve a bit, so you don't know what you're eating, and you are still getting all the goodness.
Peter Jones challenge.
You mentioned eating earlier.
Yes, you talked about your husband eating leeks.
Sorry.
Doesn't like eating leeks.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, right, yes. Another point to you in 30 seconds, and the subject's back, leeks, starting now.
I was just thinking about Wendy's husband possibly listening to this, and he'll always know from now on that there is a high likelihood of leeks being in the dish that he's eating. Oh, he's here, is he? Oh, well, then it's all gone, blown. What about government leaks? Thinking in terms of dripping information to people, journalists, for instance.
Rice challenge.
I thought there were several errs there.
Yes, he was dripping away himself. You were really dripping away there.
Yes.
It wasn't your best moment, I don't think, in the show.
No, I haven't had a good moment for some time.
Tim, you have got in with 9 seconds on leaks, starting now.
I'm glad that Peter brought up government leaks because this is an extremely interesting topic and version of this subject. For starters...
For starters, pause. Wendy, yes?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, and you've cleverly got in with 1/2 a second to go. Leaks, starting now.
Leaks are the...
So, Wendy, you increased your position by moving forward ahead of Richard Stilgo and Peter Jones, but you're still trailing 3 points behind our leader, Tim Rice. But it's your turn to begin, and the subject is lies. Can you tell us something about that? Starting now.
I think lies and the people who perpetrate them are one of the most appalling sins in life. To tell one lie, one must tell another to cover the first lie. I personally try never to tell lies unless I've put leeks in my husband's dinner. That's what they are, and I try to fob it off as some other vegetable. But apart from that, I think that is called a white lie, which probably isn't so harmful. But other lies can do irreparable damage, or some other way of saying that word.
Tim Rice challenge.
Deviation.
Deviation in what a sense?
Well, there was a word there which I didn't understand.
So you're going to have deviation from standard English or recognisable,
yes,
intelligible English.
Yes, precisely.
And we'll give you that deviation. You have 26 seconds on lies starting now.
I have to disagree with my esteemed colleague because I think that lies can make the world go round. Occasionally, it is extremely important to have the odd whopper in your repertoire. You never know when something will hurt, and the truth can hurt often much more.
Peter Jones has challenged.
He said hurt twice.
Yes, you did hurt.
I did, yes.
Very concerned about hurting.
Peter.
Right, Peter, you got him with 8 seconds on lies, starting now.
Well, I agree, it's very important to have a whopper ready at any time, because you may be called upon to produce it and save somebody being hurt.
So, Peter Jones kept going to the whistle and gained that extra point. He's moved up 1 point behind Wendy Richards, who's 4 behind Tim Rice, and trailing Richard Stilgo, who's going to be in the next round. Richard, the subject is My Lucky Number. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
The choice of lucky numbers available to people is absolutely enormous. Let me give you one or two examples. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8...
Tim Rice's challenge.
Deviation. He said one or two examples, and he's already given us 8.
A very clever challenge, Tim, yes. Yes, yes, a clever challenge. Thank goodness, otherwise he'd have gone on until 50 seconds up. So well done, Tim. Another point to you, and 47 seconds on My Lucky Number, starting now.
My lucky number is 28. That's really all I have to say on the matter, but I will...
Peter Jones got in.
If that's all he has to say, he should shut up. Don't worry.
He certainly paused, Peter, so you have 43 seconds to tell us something about My Lucky Number, starting now.
Before the war and in advance...
That wasn't slight hesitation.
One of the longest errs we've had on the show, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Right, 40 seconds on with Wendy on My Lucky Number, starting now.
My Lucky...
Richard Jones has challenged.
Too slow.
Yes. 39 seconds for you, Peter. My lucky number, starting now.
Before I was married.
Tim Rice challenged.
Two befores.
When was the other one?
Before the war, and now before he was married. There were two befores, or one but eight.
Tim, you've got in very sharply on my lucky number. 38 seconds left, starting now.
But there are things I can tell you about this gripping topic, which hadn't crossed my mind until I heard distinguished gentlemen such as Peter Jones.
To Andy Richards challenged.
It's a hesitation.
Yes, yes, I think almost, but enough to... a tough one, but we give it to you. 31 seconds on my lucky number, Wendy, starting now.
My lucky numbers are various, and I put them all down on my football pools every week. They are, in fact, number 28, number 13... 32, 19, 27, some others I've forgotten. But it's a fun...
Peter Jones challenged.
She's forgotten them. So she can't go on giving us any more.
Well, it doesn't matter, Peter, she's forgotten them. She's still keeping going on the subject.
Oh, I see, yes. Yeah.
Wendy, that was an incorrect challenge, so you've still got the subject. 16 seconds, my lucky number, starting now.
I've forgotten what I was saying now, but...
Peter Jones challenged.
There you are, she's forgotten. No.
So that is deviation. 15 seconds for you, Peter, on my lucky number, starting now.
It was a telephone number, and whenever I rang it, I was lucky. Well, before the war...
Took a long time for everybody to wake up that you'd...
Oh, I know, yeah.
Richard Stilgo, you got in first. Well, got in first, I mean, you got in at last. And there are 4 seconds left on my lucky number, starting now.
You haven't asked me what I was challenging about. Oh, all right, I won't tell you what I was challenged with.
Nobody challenged you for deviation, because what, even who asked me what I'm trying, got nothing to do with the subject. But they didn't, and so, Richard, you were still speaking when the whistle went. Tim, we're back with you to begin. The subject is Son et Lumière. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Son et Lumière can be an example of theatre at its finest. As I'm sure everybody listening knows, son is the French for sound, et lumière is the French...
Richard Sogo challenged.
A repetition of French.
Yeah, yes, that's right, yes. And, of course, if he kept going, he might have done it with such aplomb, they may not have picked it up. But, Richard, he paused, you picked him up, and you have 48 seconds to tell us something about Son et Lumière, starting now.
Sonny Lumière was one of the greatest French jazz guitarists who ever lived. The whole of the Lumière family learnt this instrument, and they played it with varying degrees of success around the clubs in which that particular sort of music is performed all over the nation, whose name I may well have said, but I'm not going to say it again, just in case I have said it before. Sonny Lumière was...
And Peter Jones challenged.
He said it before twice, it before.
Peter, you have 26 seconds on Sonny Lumière, starting now.
Do they in France call it sound and light, I wonder? I think it's usually pretty dreary, and it's often raining when it takes place. And altogether, any experience I've had of Sonny Lumière has been unhappy and damp. Well, they have historical figures...
Just don't challenge you on the damp.
No, was that an damp? Was it a hesitation between and damp, or is that
Not enough to be a real hesitation. Otherwise...
I think one of the reasons I'm doing so badly is that Peter holds his buzzer completely differently from me.
Well...
I'll try it holding it like that, and we'll see if we do any better.
Well, how were you holding it, Richard?
Holding it like that. This is great fun for listeners at home. and Peter's holding it like that.
Yeah, but you're holding it as though you're going to blow the bloody place up.
Any moment now.
That was some of the finest radio we've had. So we're carrying on with Sonny Lumière, and I disagree with your challenge, by the way, Richard.
So
Peter keeps the subject. Another point to him, and there are 11 seconds left, starting now.
Sometimes they have a narrator booming out over the tannoy, describing what these other people are doing, dressed up as historical characters and so on, actors usually employed in this way. Well...
Peter Jones, then speaking as the whistle went, gained that all-important extra point, and we've reached a very interesting situation, because Peter has now leapt forward. He's equal in the lead with Tim Rice, and little way behind is Wendy Richard, and then comes Richard Stilgo, and we have time for one more subject, and Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is making a fortune. Can you tell us something about that? With 60 seconds to go, starting now.
Well, somebody once told me ages ago when I was just starting out in my career that if I wanted to make a small fortune, the best thing to do would be to possess a large one, and it would be quite easy. Now, that's a kind of joke, I suppose, but there's a lot of truth in it. It's quite a sort of...
Tim Rice challenge.
I think there was a bit of hesitation
there. There was hesitation there, Tim. I agree with you. So you get another point. And you have 42 seconds to tell us something about making a fortune, and who better, starting now.
You need discipline, hard work, guts, drive, talent, vigour, and a gun.
Wendy, you challenge. He dried up after the vigour.
It was a dramatic pause for effect.
Yeah. Well, cancel my challenge then.
It was definitely a pause. He thought of all the things that had gone into making his fortune, and then he paused. And you got in with a correct challenge, Wendy, and you have 35 seconds to tell us something about making a fortune, starting now.
The trouble is, a lot of people who don't understand our profession think that one is making a fortune, but in fact, you're not. You do have to work very hard for whatever fortune, small or big or large or even larger, might come your way. It is not easy by any means, and one has to look round for all sorts of employment to hopefully bring in this large fortune.
Tim Rice challenged.
Split infinitive.
How dare you? What do you mean I've got split infinitive?
I thought you were struggling, Wendy.
Split...
I thought she wanted to be eased away from the topic. No, she seemed uncomfortable.
She might have looked as if she did, but also I'm sure she'd like to win points and try and overtake you, because you can split your infinitives as long as you keep going without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. She is all right. So, Wendy, you're now 2 points behind Tim Rice, and there are 8 seconds left. Making a fortune, starting now.
I've been struggling for nearly 31 years to make a fortune. Hopefully, I will achieve...
Peter Jones' challenge.
My advice would be for her to give in.
Isn't it awful how the audience always applaud the wicked challenges? Peter, obviously the audience enjoy that challenge so much, we give you a bonus point for the challenge. But we leave the subject with Wendy, who gets a point for being interrupted. 2 seconds left, making a fortune, starting now.
Actually, I don't really want a big fortune. I think just...
And nobody picked up on the word big, which he used before... Because, but it did leave us with a very interesting situation at the end of the show. Richard Stilgo, playing the game for the very first time, did magnificently, didn't he, ladies and gentlemen? Yes. That solo applause, Richard, is to compensate for the fact that you're in fourth place. Not many points behind our leaders. All three finished with the same number of points. Oh. With Peter Jones, Wendy Richard, and Tim Rice, our three joint... Today. A very fair result, because I always say it's what they contribute is far more important than the points they gain. It only remains for me to say, on behalf of our four talented panelists, Richard Stilgo, Peter Jones, Wendy Richard, and Tim Rice, Anne Ling, who's kept the score, the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, and our producer, Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thanks for tuning in, and we hope that you'll tune in again next time we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.